Blog Talk Radio.
Best-selling and award-winning author of true crime and crime fiction, Yvonne Mason is back with a brand new book, The Pink Canary, a book that delves into the life of a drag queen and a marvelous whodunit. You can find this and all of Yvonne's other works on Amazon.com or find Yvonne Mason on Facebook and Twitter.
You're gonna kill me.
Buy your copy of Pink Canary now.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it is Wednesday night. This is Yvonne Mason with Off the Chain. That was my friend Chris Dunham who does my ads for me. And The Pink Canary is one of my favorite books that I enjoyed writing so much. It's absolutely hysterically funny. Any of you that have been on my page and has seen the video that I put up, yes, it is about drag queens, and yes, my best friend is a character in it. His name is Peter Fondura, and in the book, his name is Penelope. And he always said that he wanted to die in a plane crash so that he would be famous. And after I put him in the book, he says, well, now I don't have to buy in a plane crash. I'm famous now because I'm in a book. So there you have it. It takes place down in Key West, Florida. And if you love all things Key West, you love all things drag queen, you love all things comedy, and you love all things murder, it's all rolled up into one ball of wax. So it's the Pink Canary. Get it. And if you're going to be in Cocoa this weekend, stop by the International Palms Hotel, where myself, my guest tonight, and 50-plus more authors will be there doing book signing, shaking babies, and kissing hands. So Saturday we will be signing books from 10 to 1. So join us at the International Palms Hotel in Cocoa Beach. Now, I just love this show. I love my guests. I love my listeners. I love all things about this show. We're well over 20,000 listeners. Can't give an exact number because one of my podcasts, I can't get to the data to see exactly what the data is. But just on this show alone, ladies and gentlemen, we are very close to 10,000 listeners. This morning, when I pull the numbers up, we're at 8,196 listeners just on this show. Show's not even a year old yet. And we are just going crazy. I have to give a shout-out, as always, to my friends from Down Under in Australia because they are 75% of this listening base on this show. Plus, we're heard in 64-plus other countries with all the podcasts. So I'm humbled. What could I do? You listeners and my guests make this show, and I'm very grateful. So with that being said, Miss Sherry Rentsler, who is an author, who's been on this show several times, and she and I have been talking back and forth for the last 2 hours debating on whether or not we were going to run this show because she was trying to be Dorothy in the land of tornadoes, and I don't know if she had Toto with her or not, but she didn't have her landline phone. It had gotten knocked out. She had her cell phone, but I said, look, you start talking to me and you got to go to ground and I'm going to be talking to nobody. So finally the storm's passed and we're here and we're going to talk about all things Sherry and we're going to talk about her books and we're going to talk about this weekend, which we can't wait to get to. So without further ado, let me just introduce her to you. She is a multi-award-winning, multi-genre author. She's a writing coach and a speaker. She's authored one photography book, it's called I Wish You Joy, 3 books of poetry, Paper Bones, By Light Betrayed, Poetry of the Vampires, and The Book of Now, and Midnight Assassin, A Tale of Lust and Revenge. It's a dark urban fantasy novella. Now, ladies and gentlemen, remember that book, Midnight Assassin. Now, you can't go look at it now. You've got to listen to the show or you're going to miss some very important news. Her Book of Now is a compelling book of nonfiction poetry, and she took issues from current events and put them to poetry, and those poems will just rip your heart out. They are so good. On the horizon, she has a workbook for writers who need help building a daily writing routine, a fictional memoir, which came out. It's called Breaking the Glass Slipper, and then the rest of the vampire series. Remember the Midnight Assassin. She is a retired U.S. Air Force non-combat veteran, and thank you for your service, madam. She completed her bachelor and graduate degrees while serving her country. Her background includes bylines in newspapers and online journals, plus previous work as an assistant poetry editor for an online poetry journal, a freelance columnist and photojournalist. She was a featured author in Southern Writers Magazine and in Focus on Women's Magazine, as well as a featured guest speaker on numerous radio shows, including this one. She has become one of my regulars. She is also the Charlotte, North Carolina Regional Municipal Liaison for National Novel Writing Month, which promotes writing and literacy for all ages. That's just the beginning. Her causes include the National Network to End Domestic Violence, as well as programs to end bullying, like stopbullying.gov. I can't talk. She is also a strong advocate of the SMILE train, which sees that children get corrective surgery for cleft lips and palates. Now, Sherry has a guilty pleasure, and that is indulging in a fine wine, dark chocolates, and old black and white movies, which I love old black and white movies as well. She's a recognized vampire scholar plus a dragon lover, and she and her husband, y'all aren't living in Mint Hill anymore, are you?
Oh, yes, we're still here.
You're still in, okay, that's why it only takes you 8 hours. They do live in Mint Hill, North Carolina. I thought they lived in Missouri for some strange reason. But anyway, without further ado, my darling friend, who I cannot wait to meet and give her big old Georgia hug, Miss Sherry Rentzler. Hi, darling. How are you?
Oh, hey, Yvonne. Oh, and I'm so appreciative of you having me back again. You are so wonderful to do this for all of us authors. And I just want to give you a big old shout and thank you for what you do and how you promote us. This is just a treasure.
Well, you know, I believe that we reap what we sow, and if we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly, but if we sow fruitfully, we reap fruitfully. So by getting y'all out there, I mean, y'all are heard in 64-plus countries now. By getting y'all out there, it keeps me in the spotlight because you and I talked before the show. I can't travel a whole lot anymore like I did unless my husband goes because of his disability. It just, God love him, he agreed to go this weekend to Coco because he knows that hotel. So I do the show to keep myself out there, but also to see the successes that y'all have after coming on this show. It's amazing.
Well, it's wonderful what you've done, and to reach as far as you have in so short a time, congratulations. And hey, everybody out there from all those foreign countries, especially you folks in Down Under.
Absolutely. They are just magnificent. And what I guess I can reach back into my childhood when I started working for my father, and I learned how to market at 5 years old. So when the internet became my friend, what you do is you take every opportunity that you can find out there and make it yours.
Absolutely. I mean, good marketing says if you're not being seen and you're not being heard, then you're not selling anything.
Exactly. And we know that the books and the music and the artwork and the business isn't the brand. Y'all are the brand.
Well, it's wonderful what you do, and I'm very grateful. And I'm excited to be here again because we have so much to talk about. Woman,
okay.
I have things to tell you.
I'm so excited. So without further ado, let's get started.
All right, first of all, let's talk about where we're going to be this weekend because, I mean, that's the takeover of the day and the night and the night and the day. I tell you, I have things stacked in my house, ready to go. We're wondering if we're going to be able to get it all in the car. We're going to the Space Coast Book Lovers Convention in Cocoa Beach, Florida, and I'm so excited. The folks who are putting this together, Terry Dees Edney, Robbie Cox, author, Sarah and Charlene, everybody down there who've been putting this together at the International Palms Hotel, they've just done such an incredible job. The program is going to be amazing. The authors who are coming, you know, I'm being geek girl here because I get to meet you and folks like, you know, Julie Morgan, Carrie Adrian, and L.K. Shaw, and I'm just so excited. And there's people that I've heard about and read about, but I've never met. So I get to, you know, do the little squee around the room and go, oh, I know who you are. Oh, I know who you are. So I'm excited. But how am I going to get all this stuff in the car?
Well, do like I do. I have what I call a crowbar and a wall stretcher. I pack things in places that people didn't know you could pack things.
Exactly. I'm going to need one of those large dollies to get to my room, you know, like,
well,
and maybe
I'm gonna,
a whole
I'm
bunch
gonna,
of
I think I'm going to leave the books and stuff in the car. I'm just going
to
take
the
cases.
You have to.
And then leave the other stuff in the car until I drive around to the front where I can unload it, and that way I don't have to wheel it. Because it's a huge resort, Sherry. I mean, it is absolutely huge. So if you're parked over by the beach, there's no way on God's green earth you can tote all that stuff all the way up to the front where we're going to have the
book. Oh, no. I mean, we figure we're going to leave it in the car, even if it's going to be hot. It's, you know, it's only for a day. I'm hoping the books will be fine. And then, you know, when we go to set up, then we'll unload there at the main ballroom, and then I don't have to drag it up to my room and back to the car and then over to the ballroom. It's just crazy.
I've got 10 tote, not totes, but 10 things that are strictly for the books on it, not including suitcases and computers and cameras.
Yeah, I have my camera, and, of course, we have to bring the binoculars because we have a launch. Hello. I'm so excited. You know, I'm kind of a space girl. I grew up at the in going to junior high and high school up right up the street at Titusville. Hey, all you Titusville people. And so I was there for the end of the Gemini and the first part of the Apollo all the way through into the space shuttle, or not all of the space shuttle, but some of it. And I, you know, I'm kind of the space girl because my dad worked for Grumman, Boeing, and NASA. And so, you know, he helped build the lunar rover and the lunar module. And so I've been kind of, it's in my blood. And pad 39A and B are like a part of my life. And to know that we're back on pad 39A again, yes, I'm so excited.
I have a quick story to tell you. My mother and father have a condo up at Ormond, and my mother was sitting on, and it faces the ocean, and mother was sitting out there one morning just enjoying the early morning in the ocean, and all of a sudden this plane comes by at eye level. Now, she's on the third floor. This plane comes by at eye level, and on top of this plane is one of the space shuttles where they're bringing it in. I thought she was going to have a heart attack. She said it was the most beautiful thing she'd ever seen in her life.
It is an incredible sight for those who never got to see that, like a night launch. Oh, my heaven. Oh, my God, that's the most beautiful thing. Of course, that's not as impressive as the Saturn V rocket going at night. Now, that was incredible. That would rock your belly all the way to South Carolina, and it was the most amazing thing.
First for some of the folks that are coming all the way from, we got some coming out of Illinois, I think, or Indiana. And some coming out west too. Yeah, they're flying in. So if they pay attention, they won't miss, unless it's too cloudy. We hope that it won't be too cloudy, so that they can.
Well,
they
you
can
know, if it gets delayed, out. At least we've got a couple of days to make up for it while we're still
That's
there.
True.
You know.
That's true.
So we're going to be good. And this rocket launch is, if they're going to land the boosters right back on the same pad, we're going to get to see that. And instead of having them land at sea or something, it's going to be right back there on the pad. So this is just, it's stacking up to be something really awesome.
And you know that Terry and them are already planning to do this again next year.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this again next year, but But I'm, you know, going to take advantage, full advantage of this one while we've got it.
Well, maybe we'll say prayers that you can.
Now, thank you.
You're welcome. I read a story about you. You know how
Uh-oh.
I am.
Uh-oh.
I always find these little nuggets.
Oh, no.
It's one of the...
I'm scared now.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, y'all that have followed this show know about me. Y'all know I find out things about people because I hunt people. That's my job.
I'm not guilty. I swear I'm not guilty.
You haven't jumped any bail or anything, right?
No.
But, and the story goes that at 13 years old, you were paid by the local paper a whole $5 bill.
That's
because
right.
Because of an article you wrote. Tell us that story. I think that is absolutely amazing.
When I was 13 years old, my parents announced that I was going to be a sister. And I had been an only child for, you know, 13 years. And actually, I was still 12 when they told me that I was going to be a sister. But that summer in June, when after I turned 13, my sister came along. And, of course, 13 years old, you're just entering that age when, you know, darling, I want to be left alone. And and instead, here we are with a brand-new baby in the house, and it was a learning experience. And so all during that, my sister was born in June in Florida, in Titusville. And all during that summer, it was, you know, changing diapers and rocking babies. And I actually enjoyed myself, but it was a real learning experience for a 13-year-old. And I was already a babysitter for the local kids, and I loved it, and they loved me. But babies, that was a whole other thing, you know, spit-ups and all that stuff. Anyway, the end of the summer came, and the Star Advocate newspaper, hello, Star Advocate people up there in Titusville, they had a contest, and they said, okay, students going to school, tell us what you did for your summer vacation. And if we like it, if it's really good, we'll print it in the paper, and we will pay you for it. And I thought, okay, I'll just do this. I really wasn't looking to get paid. I didn't think that I would get selected, but I was. So I did this article on what I did for my summer vacation and learning to be a sister. And they paid me $5, and they published it.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't the money that really got my attention, although that was pretty cool, finding out that I was suddenly paid for my article. What got my attention was they published it. And I was like, oh, I think I like this. I really think I like this. And they say, you know. Yes, but that wasn't the first thing I had published. I had a poem published when I was 5. And it was called A Fork in the Road. And it said something like, I don't know if I go out or if I go in. All I know is I don't want to make a mistake and start all over again. I don't want to do the wrong thing and commit a sin.
Wow.
And they put that in a young adult reader, some young adult readers compendium of elementary school students, and I didn't get paid for that, but that was my first actually published piece of work.
And like you say, getting paid for the article at 13 was like icing on the cake, but seeing
your work
was over the top.
It was like, hey, I can be published and get paid? Oh, my. So after that, it was study in school. I won a governor's award when I was in high school for what my country means to me, and I won some other contests and went on to join the Air Force from high school, and I won other contests, and I started doing commissioned poetry work and earning money by doing poems for people who were retiring and having anniversaries and things like that. And eventually I got published in a college press, and, you know, just it goes from there. You have to start small and you have to keep at it.
Absolutely. And in spite of all of the naysayers, the do-gooders, the rejections, the, oh, you've got to be kidding, in spite of all of that, you have to stay with your dream.
You really do. You really do. And I worked for my first newspaper job was when I was in the military. Had my own byline that had to do with my job that I did, and that was personnel. And I wrote these articles for the newspaper telling people how to do various things while they were in the service. And, you know, it was kind of boring stuff unless you were in the service. And you got to read about things that you could do. Yeah, things that you could do. But, you know, while I was in the military, I also did something else that was rather odd.
What'd you do?
I taught girls, I don't know what you want to call it now. It was an etiquette, kind of an etiquette class, where I teach you how to walk downstairs in heels and how to sit and how to have conversation, how to eat a full-service meal, with what fork and what knife and all that kind of stuff. That was back in 1978. Yeah, a long time ago. And, yeah, I used to do I think they call it a courtesy course or something.
Well,
but it was basic.
Some of the young girls could have that course now.
Yes, I agree.
We need to bring etiquette back.
Yeah, but so I had lots of little things. And that was in the paper. It made a big deal in the paper about, you know, you can learn decorum and take this class and learn how to walk and sit and stand and talk and, you know. So, lots of fun.
Need to be taught. Now, I also read something else about you. And I suffer from the same thing. Yeah. Well, you're in good company because I suffer from the same thing. No, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going crazy here. We could be, but and you nailed it. It's postpartum depression for releasing a book after we have finished the book and we have spent it off. We spiral downward for a while.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't call it spiraling exactly, except that you do get depressed. Now, I'm not ready to mention the thing yet, but you do, when you finish a book, especially a novel, it
mm-hmm.
takes so much out of you that it just kind of leaves you drained. And it took me, I don't know, a couple of weeks to kind of recover my full senses because I was so immersed in my project. I was eating and sleeping and dreaming the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is true of every author. And they don't really talk about it very much because then when it's over, there's this huge letdown of, okay, now what?
Well, yeah, exactly. Because you – and if – ladies and gentlemen, if you've never done a project where your heart and soul and everything is in it, you build up this huge crescendo and you spend
mm-hmm.
all this – time and effort and your soul and the voices in your head and you're writing as fast as you can write and you're editing and you're writing and you're editing and then you get the cover and then you send it off and then the voices go quiet and you go, what happened? The party left.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do now?
Well, you know, and we know what comes next. There's the business that comes with marketing and getting it set up and doing the sales and everything. And that's kind of a whole nother avenue that has nothing to do with your creative side, really. And it's the creative letdown when it suddenly stops.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to stop that engine and turn and go in a different direction. And it's really hard sometimes to get wound up to go that other direction. And,
it is.
And I think that's why authors say, you know, the marketing and social media part, that is so hard, because once they finish the project, they don't really want to do anything else. They want to kind of catch their breath and they're still in that creative mode. They want, sometimes you just want to keep going. Let's on to the next book. When you have to stop and put in motion all the things that are required on that book. And it's very, I don't know, it can be a little depressing sometimes.
And
I know
it's
for
a,
me,
it's like shutting off the music all of a sudden and the house is completely silent.
Mm-hmm. Very true, very true. Especially if you're immersive like I am. I eat, sleep. My characters talk to me. I have conversations with them. It's 24/7 during the entire time I'm on the book, which can sometimes be as long as 6-7 months or sometimes as few as 2 or 3 months, depending on how quickly I can work. And, you know, for most people, it's a novel. It's a year's worth of work. And and so you get used to sleeping and eating and dreaming and dancing with all these characters that you work with and write. And they're telling you what to do and what to say and what they want. And it's company. And it's they're part of you. They've come to life. And then the book is done and they go to sleep. And you're like, and you're like, hello?
Anybody home?
Yeah. Where'd y'all go? And
I was just getting used to you.
Yeah. Come back and clean the house, won't you? I just, you know.
Really? So. Answer the phone or something. Just let me know you're still here.
And I think that's why authors want to tend to go right into the next project, especially if you're working on a series.
Mm-hmm. Mm,
series. We might have to come back and talk about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Say, I have some news. Can I tell you my news?
Of course.
Okay.
What is your news?
Well, the last time we talked, you know, we talked in April for Poetry Month, and we spent some time talking about the Book of Now.
Yes.
Well, I'm pleased to tell you that since we've talked, the Book of Now has won 4 awards.
Really?
Yes. I won the Elit Book Award, the Silver Award for Poetry. I won the International Press Award for book cover in nonfiction, and I have to give a supreme shout-out for that award to Marissa Rose Shore, who designed my cover from Cover Me, Darling, and she is, you know, she designed this from scratch. The Book of Now looks like a grimoire with a hat, with a hasp and a lock on it. And she designed that from scratch, and it is incredibly beautiful. And it won an award for a Silver Distinguished Winner Award for the book cover in nonfiction. And they only gave out, in the Independent Press Awards, they only give out a winner and then a couple of distinguished awards. And in my category, they gave out one winner and one distinguished award. And so that was me. So I'm very proud to have won that. And then I just won 2 National Independent Excellence Awards, one of them for the Book of Now's interior design, which I have to give a shout-out to Cassie Roop of Pink Ink Designs. She did the interior, and it is so incredible. She wanted to keep the grimoire look, and she put finials, and she made the paper look old, and it's beautiful. And then I also won, that was a finalist award, by the way, and I also won another finalist award from the National Indie Excellence Awards in Poetry. So
wow.
it has really done very well. I'm so proud and so pleased and thankful for the people who put time and energy and effort into designing and creating the cover work and the interior work that made the book as beautiful as it is. I'm pleased at the Poetry Awards, but, you know, I'm not the designer for the cover, and I'm not the designer of the interior. I had a vision, and these other people put that vision to light. So I need to say thank you to them. And authors, whoever you have that you select to do your covers and your interiors, please, when you win awards, please make sure you give it to them and thank them and let them know how grateful you are for the work that they do to make you look good. Because I tell you, these 2 women that did this book, they were incredible. And I'm so thrilled. So, I'm proud
thrilled.
And happy.
Boy, Me too. That is amazing, my darling.
Thank you very much. So that was my first of my announcements. So the Book of Now, even though it's poetry, it seems to be doing really well as far as the award circuit goes. And if you haven't read it, for those who are wondering, well, what is this book? The Book of Now is current issues nonfiction poetry. I took, well, there were a period of 3 months when all I did was hear the news and read the paper and bleed poetry. Everything I heard turned into a poem, and I only published about a quarter of the poems that I actually spit out because some of them weren't worth, you know, mentioning. But it was things like terrorism and politics and domestic violence and international slavery and ecological disasters, and it just went on and on and on. The terrorist bombings would come and the poems would come. And so the Book of Now is kind of a reflection of what's been happening in the world. And it's all based on the idea that maybe Pandora has come back and she's opened the box again. And through reading the Book of Now, you can discover a key to helping us fix what's wrong with the world and how to stop Pandora from unleashing any more of her chaos. And you discover that in reading the Book of Now, and in the end it tells you what that is.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't listen to the show in April, go back and listen to that show, because Sherry read some of her poetry and it gave me chill bumps, because those poems are so heartfelt, so heart tearing and so heart rendering that even if what she was reading about had not happened around you, you felt it. Those poems are that powerful. So go back and listen
to
that.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. Those poems haunted me for days after.
And I'll have that Book of Now at the conference for anybody who's attending, if you want to pick up a copy while you're there.
Now,
go ahead.
Let's talk about, we're going to segue into your other news. Midnight Assassin is one of the most fascinating books I've ever read.
Really?
Yes. And it's all your fault and my husband's fault that I spent two nights no sleep because of that book.
Okay, so shall I tell everybody what that is?
Yes.
Midnight Assassin is a novella. It is a dark urban fantasy where the main characters are a couple of human twins who are trying to avenge their father's murder. And the man who actually murdered their dad went to jail, but not for murder. He went to jail for another reason. And now he's being released, and they're waiting on his release to kill him. They have this plan. And unfortunately, there is a vampire who is interested in killing him too. And she tries to warn the twins off by telling them that this is her kill and they should not interfere. Well, the male of the twins, his name is Terry, he's not having any of that. And so he's going to, you know, argue with her about this. But when the man who killed his dad kidnaps his sister, then it turns out that Terry and this vampire, whose name is Drahomira, they have to team up together and rescue his sister and kill this guy and get vengeance for their father's murder. And along the way, Terry and Drahomira develop a relationship, and I won't spoil the book for anyone who hasn't read it, but it's important because this story is kind of a whisper of things to come. And Drahomira is one of my vampire characters who is very important to me. She is not a primary character, but she has her own primary role in things. And Midnight Assassin came out, and everybody was like, so what's going to happen? I was like, well, you'll just have to wait and see, because I have plans for Drahomira. And now those plans have come to fruition. So shall I tell them?
Yes, because when I saw the cover of the new book, it is so striking, and the female that is on the cover, whoever designed this cover is amazing, because the female that is on the cover, her eyes follow you.
Are you talking about Midnight Assassin?
No. Gypsy Thorn.
There's no eyes on my girl on the cover.
You sure?
Yep. Yep. It's just a nose down. So let me tell you, the new book is called The Gypsy Thorn. And the main character in The Gypsy Thorn is Drachimira. This book is the prequel novel to the new vampire series, which will begin in October of this year. And Drachimira is the Gypsy Thorn, and we find out why she gets called this. And we see the beginning of, we get to meet the characters who are a part of the vampire series. And we find out that Drachimira is kind of the catalyst that brings all these people together, and why they're gathering where they're gathering. I can't give any more of that away. But there are three characters, three main characters in the book. One is Drachimira, of course. The other one is Rhea. And you got a kind of a brief glimpse of Rhea in Midnight Assassin. And then there's a third character, Jean-Louis Rivier, and he is crucial to the new vampire series. He is also a vampire. So these three people are headed to a collision course, which is all explained in The Gypsy Thorn. And once we meet everybody and we see where they're going, then the vampire series can begin. This cover for The Gypsy Thorn was designed, again, by Marissa Rocheur of Cover Me Darling. And once again, she did a fabulous job. However, this is a real woman on the cover, and her name is Haley. Yes, and it's one of Cover Me Darling's models. And Haley, I am crazy in love with Haley. She's one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen. And she just has this way about her. And the cover was actually done with a blonde, and Marissa changed it to a redhead so that it would be my girl Dre. And she did a few other little tricks of the trade to make the cover what I wanted. But basically, this is a real woman, and we've made her my girl Dre. And Marissa's done another incredible job.
Well, I could have sworn that her entire face was there, because this cover haunts me.
Yeah, nope. There's no eyes.
She followed me.
Yeah.
I swear she followed me. The first time I looked at it, I'm going, Sherry's killing me.
No, all you see is these beautiful red lips with a hint of fangs.
Uh-huh. It's gorgeous. Ladies, no, y'all cannot go look at it now. You've got to wait till after the show or you'll miss something.
But I have some quotes from the book that I can read tonight. But
sweet.
I do want to mention that this is a prequel to the new series. The new series is going to be called The Evening Bower. And the bower is where Rhea is going to live, and things are going to happen there, and future is going to unfold there. And it's going to have an incredible future. There are so many characters that come to the bower, and so many stories that we have potential for. And I say we, me and my characters, because they are not actually new. These are characters I developed back in 1997 with other people. And I need to give a shout out to one of those people. I want to say hi to Melanie McLaren, who actually was with me in the very beginning when I first created the Bower. And she helped create characters along with me. And we had this incredible story that we told, of which you get a hint of what that is in The Gypsy Thorn. And so the Bower is going to be this kind of the center of my universe for the next several years as I introduce you and tell you stories from these characters and share their adventures with you. And we're going to have a really good time. It's going to be fighting and hunting and lovemaking and discovery and just all kinds of things happening.
So you're working on the new book, right? Or you're going to when you get back from the
I've already started on the book that'll come out in October. I've probably got about a third of it done now. No grass grows under this girl.
I'm telling you. So you're going to come back in November, right?
Right. You set me up for early November, and we'll talk about that new book then. Because
yeah,
I'm going to another conference in November. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You're just a regular gadabout.
Well, you're very generous. What can I say? But I'm very excited about where this new story is going to go. I think that Dre is going to be with people for a long time. And I think once you read The Gypsy Thorn, you'll have a better feeling for her roots and where she comes from. You don't get her whole story in The Gypsy Thorn. Dre will have her own series of books that will be coming, not right away, but they'll be coming after we get the series started. And you'll get her background and her whole birth and legend and everything in her own stories. And you'll get little hints in The Gypsy Thorn of how that all came about. Plus, in The Gypsy Thorn, you find out more about how Dre came to help Terry in Midnight Assassin. And that little thread is answered and dealt with in The Gypsy Thorn. So for those who read The Midnight Assassin are like, okay, so why did she come there and why did she want to kill the guy who killed Terry's dad? Well, that's answered in The Gypsy Thorn.
So see, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to start with The Midnight Assassin. It's like when I started reading Anne Rice, I started with Interview with a Vampire, then I had to go back and read The Vampire Lestat. It's that sort of thing, which is it drives me crazy because there's all these questions
Midnight Assassin is a standalone book, but it does help you going forward if you read that one too, because the events that happen in Midnight Assassin haven't happened yet when you read The Gypsy Thorn. So it's kind of like, okay, well, where's this stuff? Well, it hasn't happened yet. So that's
so
how we
read,
do it.
Read your clips. Read your clips.
So, yeah, you should read Midnight Assassin if you want to, you know, begin your background. But The Gypsy Thorn is really where it's all going to begin for everybody. And I think that that's lots of fun. We've got the Angel of Death. And he's a real piece of work. And let me read just a little, real short little thing that kind of sums up where we're going. For those who don't know, Drahamira is rather, she's a bit bawdy and kind of sexy. She's very stubborn and single-minded. And
she's opinionated, too, ladies.
Yeah, very. And that didn't start out that way, but you see that in The Gypsy Thorn, how she gradually comes into her own and why she is the way she is. But there's a little scene in the book where she's talking with the Angel of Death, and he doesn't really help her out and doesn't really answer her questions. And she's beginning to get annoyed with him. And he accuses her of being mocking him and everything. And she says, "I despise men telling me how I should be grateful to them. One day I'm going to take a blade and strip you to the bone, one slice at a time. I will know what is underneath those wings and your threats," she growled, "and then I will let the wolves have you." And for those who don't know, the only thing in this world that Drahamira is afraid of are the wolves. And that's explained in the book.
See,
so, yeah, she's
going to... Sherry is amazing. She's an amazing storyteller.
Oh, you're so...
But it's true. I only speak facts, ma'am.
But here's one quote from the book that kind of explains the whole series, the whole story of Dre, everything. It's all summed up in one little paragraph in the book. and it's this. You must remember that in every truth, there is a bit of legend waiting to be born. And in every legend, there is a grain of truth waiting to unfold. I find that I have been both legend and truth. This is Rhea speaking. I worked through time literally becoming that which my body represented to the people. I gave the people proof their legends were real because I became the legend. And that's kind of the background of the whole series.
Yes, I will be getting Gypsy somewhere when we get off the phone tonight because I'm finishing up a book and I'm going to need a book this weekend, so I'll be getting
Gypsy
somewhere.
Oh, well, darling, I'm going to be there tomorrow and you can get your copy.
That's
from
right,
me.
I can get it from you tomorrow, yes, and you can sign it for me. Oh, smack me in the head. Where is my
No, I'd rather hug you instead. Yes, it's going to be good. I'm very excited at where this new book is going. I hope everyone will give it a chance. It's the ebook is on sale right now for 99 cents. It's going to go up. So if anybody really wants it, you can get it for 99 cents. And, of course, the print book is available. It's a very reasonably priced for a regular trade paperback. So I hope everyone will consider getting it. I'm not a best-selling author as far as USA Today or the New York Times goes. I haven't had that honor and privilege yet, but I think I will entertain you, and I think that's the whole point, right? So
exactly.
Give me a try, and you know, let me know. I should tell you that I had a competition on my website to name Drahomira's club. She owns a club in New Orleans, and I had a competition for everyone to, you know, send me your suggestion, and the winner would get permanent immortality in my books by name, so that you know, every time we mention the name of the club, we would make sure that that person would be credited in the book each and every time. And it turned out that the winner is Ann Nedich, and she knows that she won because the Drahomira's club is called Club Malachite. And that, too, the Malachite is explained in the book. So if you want to know why we named it that, you'll have to read the book. But and Anne named it without even knowing what the story was. She just happened to pick that, and it was perfect. And so we love Anne. She's forever immortalized in the book. I actually made her a real estate agent who sold the club to Drahomira. So,
wow.
So it all worked out for fun. And anytime I have a contest for a naming or a character, zap, in the book they go. So you keep that for future reference, folks, because I'll have more contests in the future.
And she will do that. And this is the one of the perks that we as indies get to do that those that are published by the Big Six don't get to do. We get to do little things like that, have contests, to have someone name a club or name a building, name a street, and then put them in the book and immortalize them in the book. And they can say, I'm in that book. And people look at them like, yeah, right. No, right here. I'm in that book.
That's right, because I get to put her in acknowledgments and I get to thank her for what she's done. And every time I use the name Club Malachite in any book, she'll be mentioned in the acknowledgments as having created that club. And so she'll always be with me. She's part of the family now.
And just like my friend Peter, who is gay, and when I was going to write The Pink Canary, I went to him, and I also went to, and I had, like you, I have to give a shout out to Vicki Lane, because she is a premier drag queen, and she worked in New York for years and years and years, then she moved to Canada, and when I was looking for a drag queen to help me with that culture, I came upon her website, and I told her what I was about, what I was doing. She jumped in with both feet, and so she is also in the book. And she and Peter are in another book. So, ladies and gentlemen, we get to do things like that, don't we, Sherry?
We do, and we get to give credit where credit's due, and that's the fun of it. I mean, when people help us out, you never know. You know, and if we don't like you, look out, you still might end
we'll
up in the
you.
Book.
You'll wind up in the book, but you may be
you know,
worm food in the book.
Might be Dre's dinner, you never know, but But I'm
so
very excited about the new book.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm very excited about the new book. I see so much happening in the future for my characters and for Dre particularly. And I have to tell you that my personal author assistant, Terry Wilson, is, you know, she keeps me on track and she eggs me on. And she's been whispering in my ear, you know, so is Dre going to find, you know, is Dre going to be in love? And, you know, is there going to be some sex? And, you know, I'm like, you're just going to have to read the book, you know.
I too would like to give a shout out to Terry because she is magnificent. At every corner, she sends me guests.
Mm-hmm.
She is.
Yeah, she's
wonderful.
She's a good friend, and she's very, very dear to me because she helps me out so much and keeps me on track. And for those who don't know who I'm talking about, Terry A. Wilson is my personal author's assistant. She runs her own blog, and she's a reader, an avid reader, and she does book reviews, and she does a feature called Carolina Reads, hashtag Carolina Reads, where she'll ask you 5 questions to tell her about the kind of books you read, and she does a thing called Talk About a Tuesday, where if you catch up with her on Facebook on Tuesdays and let her know what you're working on, she might pick you and talk about you in her blog. So Terry's very active, but most importantly for me, she helps me keep organized and, you know, keeps my blog going. When, you know, she reminds me it's time to do the blog post, you know, for Monday blogs, and she keeps me on target. So, and whenever we have a book coming out, she helps me with the betas and make sure the editing stays on track. She's got a terrific background, master's in education, so the woman knows her stuff, and I'm very grateful to have her on my team. So,
she's a sweetheart, I'm going to tell you. She's an amazing human being, and her perception into books and into writing is, I've never seen anybody like her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know how to pick them.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. In fact, one time when I bring you back, we should bring you and her both on the show. Wouldn't that be fun?
Absolutely. I think that'd be a great idea.
I think
when we get the next book for the series, that'd be a good time.
Yeah. Okay. You heard it first here, ladies and gentlemen. And would you believe that we are going to run out of time again?
Oh, no. Well, we need to give one more shout out to anyone who's down in Florida and they're looking for something to do this coming weekend on Saturday, June 3rd. The Space Coast Book Lovers Convention is happening at the International Palms Resort and Convention Center in Cocoa Beach. It's free, and you need to come. There's going to be like 70 authors there who are anxious to meet you, who would love to sign books for you. Yes, you have to buy the books, but I promise you the books are worth it. And many of these authors are USA Today, New York Times best-selling authors, and you will be just awestruck at who's there. And I encourage anyone in the local area or within a couple of 100 miles to make the effort and come see these people. I'll be there too. You can give me a wave. I'm going to give a big gift bag away. All you have to do is come to the raffle, you know, get a ticket, and you're going to get some books and some goodies and just a big thing. It's like over $250 worth of goodies. So, you know, lots happening. There's going to be raffles and giveaways and pictures and drawings and games and you name it. Readers and bloggers are going to have a blast. So you need to come.
And prepare to have fun. That's the main thing, because I'm going to tell you, if every one of these authors are like Sherry and myself, we
crazy?
Draw energy. Yeah, you're crazy. Yeah. Well, you've heard some of my interviews.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, and you've read some of the things they've put on my page. But we have to be crazy or we go insane.
Yeah.
But ladies and gentlemen, we are all accessible, because without y'all, yeah, we could write our books and we could put them out there, and it makes us happy because we have them out there, but we love our readers. We love their their feedback. We love their, I can't wait for the next book. We love their reactions. So come on out. Come and talk to these authors. Let them know you've read their books. Or if you haven't read their books, let them know you want to read their books. That would
absolutely
be a fair statement.
I'm looking forward to being a geek girl myself, and I get to run around and say, can I have your autograph? So I'm very excited. And I get to have a hug from you, so this is going to be great.
Yep.
And once again, please let me say thank you for the opportunity, for the opportunity that you give me and all of us authors and singers and dancers and songwriters and bloggers and readers and everybody that you've had on the show. You are so generous and warm and giving to provide us with this opportunity. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
You're welcome, my darling. It makes me happy.
Well, I never hear from anybody after these shows. So, you know, you come on out to my Facebook page, author Sherry Rensselaer, and say hi and let me know you heard me on Yvonne's show, because I would love to hear from you and get some feedback. Tell me what I shouldn't do next time, and I'll try not to do that.
Yeah, they wouldn't dare. They're afraid to do that. Well, I had two women on my show back-to-back, two authors, and they both have been in the entertainment business. They've interviewed presidents and astronauts and A-listers, and both of them, and it was so humbling. They said, Yvonne, you are an absolute amazing interviewer. And
that's,
I don't,
because you have
right.
No pretense. You're not phony. You just... There's no fake news with you. You are, what you hear is what you get. It's real as it can be.
And if they don't like it, it's okay with me. If they
That's
do
right.
like it, then they'll come back. So,
well, you see me. I keep coming back
absolutely.
For more.
She contacts me. She says, get me on the show quick. Hurry. Okay, let's see what happens. And, yes, we have fun. That's why we call it Off the Chain. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the Cocoa Beach area or within a 200-mile or 300-mile radius or down south somewhere, come on up and join us. You'll love it, I promise. Now, and also, hook up with Sherry on Facebook. She's a hoot. Sherry Rensselaer, Rensselaer. Friend her on Facebook because you will absolutely adore her. And as I always say at the end of the show, because I am a dreamer, the people I have on here are dreamers, and without dreamers, we would not have the world we live in. We know this. And my brother, who is challenged, has taught me that without dreamers, we have nothing. So stop asking permission to be successful. Just go out and do it. Because when you start asking permission, people won't give it to you. So don't ask permission. Just achieve success on your own. And instead of just feeling special, become special. Believe you're special. Show the world you're special. Feeling special, okay, you can lie to yourself. But when you put it out there for the world to see, that's when you become special. And as I always say, your smile is your logo, your personality is your business card, and how you leave others feeling after having an experience with you becomes your trademark. I believe that with all of my heart. Next week, 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, author L.A. Nance will be here. On Thursday, author Ritter Ames will be here. And on Friday, author Patty Luftbauer will be here. So join us at 8 o'clock. On Wednesday night, I am taking the rest of the weekend off because I am going to Coco and shaking babies and sign hands and hug Sherry and see what other stuff I can get into, because that's me. And Miss Sherry, thank you, my darling. I can't wait to see you. It's always a pleasure, an honor, and so much fun when we get together. We just pick up where we left off the last time.
We sure will. And thank you so much. You drive safely.
I will. It only takes me an hour and a half, so I'll probably be there a minute or two before you.
All righty. I'll look for you. And
all
thank
right,
you
darling,
again.
You're welcome, sweetheart. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember this. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason. Join us next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time with author L.A. Nance. And love each other. Love your children. And Miss Sherry and I are saying good evening. Hang on, Sherry.
Okay.
You know I'm going to put this up in archives and then send it to you, right?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And then I'll put the, I hope I'll have time in the morning to put the podcast up before I leave. If not, I'll probably get them up tomorrow night after I get in the hotel room later
That's
on.
That's fine.
And then
That's
tag
no
you
hurry.
In it.
That's great.
And
I have no problem.
You have safe travels, my sweet friend.
I will, and I'll be looking for you when I get there. I'm going to look for that first Bloody Mary because I'm just like, yes.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, the tiki bar there at the pool and the mango restaurant make Bloody Marys to die for.
Okay, well, I'm not a big outdoor girl. As long as the sun is shining, I'm going to be, like, mostly inside. I don't do heat,
well,
don't do sun.
The mango restaurant, it has a cover,
mm-hmm.
so you'll be fine.
Okay.
You won't be in direct sun. It's outside, but it has a nice cover over it. It's a shaded area.
Okay,
and
but
what
it's outside
I will
in
do,
the heat, right?
Yeah, but you'll be all right because you'll be drinking Bloody Marys. What I will do when we get off of here, I'll PM you my phone number.
Okay.
And then...
All right. And, I'll give you back my cell phone, and I'll be on
okay.
my cell.
All right, my darling. I love you, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
I love you, too. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, honey. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.